cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Thank you, Father. We bless you, we bless you. Emashana Costa Stefrementala Aparadeno. Unsi and see, I see. Asai and sai and sai. Sata paayana aya ayel. Fafana fafa. Fala fala. Fama fena. Fende. Fen fear fire. This is fuel. Fear. I'm fueling you to, for you to go far. For fuel, for far, 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 to go far, to go far, far, fueling you, fueling your soul, oiling, pouring off, fuel, fueling, filling for Johnny, fuel for your Johnny, more fuel, more fully, drink. Drink more of me. Drink more. Drink more. Drink more. Drink more. Drink more of my spirit. Drink more of my spirit and receive fuel. Fuel. Fuel for the future. Fuel for the future. Fanata aspatata pita alpatia. Imparting strength. Heavenly strength. We're imparting heavenly strength. This is impartation. These are grounds for the impartation of strength. Impartanitas, to give strength to your generation. Bringing strength to your generation. Even for the future. This is for the future. This is for the future. You're sowing into me to reap the future. To reap. For you shall have a harvest in not too long from now. In a short time, you will have a harvest. You will have a harvest, even a bountiful harvest. For you will harvest, yeah, Messiah, 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 Samasaya, Asaya, Asada, Ananona, Amanana, Amnana, Amnoni, and Tomne, Tamatama. And son, sante, and your obedience is coming up to me, it's rising up to me, it's rising up to me. It's coming up to me, and it's memorable in my heart. I will remember it. I remember your obedience. I remember. I will remember. And I will reward you. I will reward you with even life and life everlasting. Life and life everlasting. For I will move you into everlastingness, into everlasting life. Enter, you will enter life. You will move into life. You will pass into life here forever. Good thoughts towards you. I have good plans in my heart. Good things. I have good things for you. Ahead for you. I am your Lord. I am your God. I am your Lord. I am your God. And I will bless you, saith the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We worship you, Lord. We are overwhelmed by your goodness and your kindness towards us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. Father, thou make him a little lower than the angel, but crown him with glory and honor. Thank you for crowning, even for higher glory, which you are unveiling. In our days. Father, we worship you this morning. Words cannot tell of what you are doing for us. Father, we say to you this morning that we are grateful for everything. We don't take anything for granted. Oh, Father, we celebrate every drop of mercy that has ever moved towards us, every grace everything, every goodness of your heart that has been made manifest. Father, we worship your name this morning. We thank you. We give thanks to you, our Father in heaven. We give you all the praise. We worship you. We worship. Father, we bring our hearts again in your presence. Lord, we submit our vessel under the cloud of your glory, under the cloud of mercy, to be blessed by you. Father, this morning I ask for a unique blessing from heaven. I pray, let no flesh glory in your presence. Let everything of man cease. Father, we pray your spirit will come to us this morning and minister to us. I ask, Lord, for pastures to open, for sight to come, for light to come, for grace to come, for wisdom to come, for power to come. I ask, Lord, let there be a release of your blessing over us this morning. I pray, Lord, I ask for so much help from above to rest upon hearts, upon vessel. I pray for spiritual help, for help, even blessings of grace to come upon us, to rest upon us. I pray for my vessel. Use me to speak your holy word this morning. I ask you, Lord, help my soul, help me to just be formed inwardly into the shape that you want to use this morning. Father, I belong to you. I am not my own. Use my vessel this morning. Help me. Help us, Lord, to arrive at truth, to find pastures in your word. Thank you. Father Namati, thank you. We worship your holy name. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Give you glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Please just welcome somebody quickly. Shana Esian Sosta Provenata. Ora Baba Vaha Vaha Sasai Hanita Telenga Dano. Ora Novanan Retus. Poronati Vengen Jadi and Jadini and Dol to Benjamin Dilly and Dovavana. Ora Haba Hura Dava Debrez Zabadano. O Shabadadaka Yana. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Amen. Emahama Manahamba Vava the Fever Devaveno V and Zaya Divinata Samarash the Prohash Shabahanta Esten and Hasten or Humiline Emma Nobody with the poor Divin Femada Emma the Bendy El Babadabadi Kapapa over the bed Palaba Halma Amanona Halmana Hamadon. Omena, Hamanama, Omena, Papa, Papa, Labour, Fabulous, Fabulous, You have a high calling. Come in. Enter. Come in. Respond to your calling. Respond to your calling. You have a high calling of God in Christ. Respond Man, respond, and take it seriously. Take it more seriously. Take your calling more seriously. He's a call and he's a glorious. He's a glorious calling. He's a glorious calling. He's a glorious calling. Take it more seriously. Take it more seriously. Take it more seriously. Take it more seriously. Take your calling more seriously. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Father, we bless your name. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Amen. Thank you, Father. Verse 16, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Back to verse 11. It says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. But he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed. So he is their sanctifier, and when they become of one, he is not ashamed, amen, to call them brethren. Ephesians 5 verse Ephesians 5 Famahanda Falabaja Tasta Prodias Tekili Emanataya. Ephesians 5 verse, I'll read from verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. So that he might sanctify her, sanctify and cleanse it, verse 26, with the washing of water by the word, so that he can present to himself a glorious church. Amen. So it's very clear, the glorious church, there's a church of people who have been sanctified. In Hebrews chapter 2 again, it says, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. So this church is a glorious church, right? And the destiny of this church is to come to glory. And so you see, sanctification is a prerequisite for glory. Sanctification is what? It's a prerequisite for glory. Without sanctification, you can't be glorious. So that he said that he might cleanse her and sanctify her by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present to it to himself a glorious church. Amen. So the end of this church is glory. Let's see Romans chapter. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans 8, I read from verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to what? To them that are the called according to his purpose. So those who are the called, like I said, the church actually means called. The word church means called out. Amen. Which is the word ecclesia. And that those people are called according to his purpose. It's very clear that that purpose is the glory of God. Am I correct? Verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified, right? And whom he justified, he also glorified. So, you can see the process of justification, they call it, is actually sanctification, if you compare the scriptures, right? The point of being justified is a point where sanctification has been completed. So you have been made just, right, when sanctification has been completed. Of course, the instrument and the tool for sanctification is faith. Am I correct? And faith is what makes you just. Praise God. Faith is what? Is what takes you to the end of sanctification. Sanctification. Amen. Sanctification. Praise God. When you are sanctified through faith of the Son, you become just. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it said that therefore being what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Let us see 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians 2, I'll read from verse 13. Praise God. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found it? That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Praise God. Amen. So you're seeing here, it says that God, and verse 13, that but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you. That word, from the beginning, chosen you, what does that mean? That means, what? From the beginning, chosen. If from the beginning, you were not there when you, at the beginning, were you? You came later. But they say that from the beginning, he had chosen you. So there's a foreknowledge and predestination. That is Romans chapter 8. It's the same thing that they're saying, that he had from the beginning, even before you came on the scene, he has chosen you because of foreknowledge. Am I correct? And then he has ordained you, and he has chosen you to salvation. Through, of course, salvation is glory. Or so when you come into salvation, you come into the obtaining of glory. He says, for he has chosen you to salvation through a process of what?
Sanctification
of the Spirit, and then and the belief of the truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, it is that belief of the truth is the faith process, which is sanctification. They are the same thing. They are together. A sanctified person is a believer of the truth. Mm-hmm. You've mastered believing as in a lifestyle. Your faith has turned into life. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says it's written, the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. And of course, that is what the gospel is meant to produce, a life of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he's called you by our gospel to the obtaining. You see that? So because of the sanctification and belief of the truth, and then you will now come into obtaining. Verse 14. Say
obtaining
of the glory
of
our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Let us see 1 Peter. Obtaining of the glory. Praise God. This is just how many scriptures that you're just seeing them. It's the same thing. They are just telling you that the program or on the plan of God for men. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, you read verse 2. Amen. It says, I read from verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Are you seeing that? What is foreknowledge? It's Romans chapter 8, same thing. Those who he foreknew, then he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those who were predestinated, he called them. And those who he called, he justified. Of course, justification is also sanctification. Praise God. He also, and then he's who, those who have been justified, or those who have been sanctified, he did what?
Glorified.
He glorified. Verse 2 here says, elect, of course, elect according to that process of foreknowledge. Praise God. Of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace, what? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Grace and peace be what?
Multiplied unto you.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So, of course, those elect,
according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. These are people who have come into a certain kind of faith, you see, in Titus chapter 1. Amen. Amen. In Titus chapter 1. Are you there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Titus chapter 1. Verse 1. Titus 1 verse 1. It says, Paul is servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and then the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So this faith of God's elect, and then acknowledging of the truth. This truth, acknowledging of the truth, is like what it calls in 2 Thessalonians, belief of the truth. It's unto sanctification, and then belief of the truth. Amen. So here he calls it the acknowledging. Acknowledging means the full, you've journeyed in truth to fullness. And this truth is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Praise the Lord. So it's very clear that the content of the gospel of faith is actually to prepare us and make us ready for, or to fashion us and make us ready to carry and to carve the glory of God. To carry the glory of God. Amen. So every man, it is God's, see the word they use is predestination, is foreknowledge. Predestination, right from the before God brought you forth, he has designed you for glory. It is to carry, to bear his glory. That's the reason why the Lord raised every one of us. Amen. But what God really wants is to develop his church. And that's the reason why he sent his son to us, to raise his church out of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
And to raise his son. And that son is to present to himself a glorious church. And so that church that has been worked on, that has been developed by the Son to this state of sanctification, of justification, is it becomes the candidate for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so that glory, glory of God, is actually, it comes upon the church when the nature of true sanctification, okay, which is that sanctification, is also righteousness. Do you get that? That sanctification is what?
Righteousness.
Is righteousness. Right. The word right, righteousness, or when you say justification, it is just, means it is right. Am I correct? And then so to be sanctified, actually it means to take away the filthy content. What's the filthy content of you? It's things that are not right. So the things that are not right is what they need to remove. So to make a person sanctified is to fill them with the righteousness of God. So sanctification is not what we think it is naturally. To go and do some devotion and then, you know, separate yourself. It's more than that. Someone can be separated for 80 years, and when they come before God, they are still unclean. They are still unrighteous. Praise God. It's because what makes you sanctified are things. They are substances of God that makes one. They are the righteousnesses of God that must be given to a person. A person must come into them. As you are receiving them, you are becoming sanctified. They sanctify you. Amen. By the giving of righteousness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing that? By what? This song. So as you are receiving righteousness, you are coming further into sanctification. And every righteousness you receive, you are moving closer to glory. Righteousness, the receiving of righteousness, is the way you take steps to glory. You are becoming more fitted. The more righteousnesses of God that you receive, of course, that righteousness comes by revelation, right? When in Ephesians chapter 5, he said that he might cleanse her and sanctify her by washing of water. Of course, you know the water has blood inside. So there are many things. That word water is just the encapsule of the content of the substances. What is inside water is righteousness. Praise the Lord. Do you agree with me? So what he used is the washing of water by the word, that he might cleanse her and then sanctify her by the washing of water by the word, to present unto himself a glorious church. Amen.
Amen.
And so we know that word is his gospel. How many of you believe that? Let's read that 2 Thessalonians again. Chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Amen. Whereby he did what? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it is things that pertain to the called are delivered through the gospel. And in Romans chapter 1, he said that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Right? To them that believe. To the Jew first and to the Greek. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? From faith to faith. Amen. So righteousness is what they need to put on so. Amen. Righteousness is actually the clothing that any person who will receive glory, any person who will come to the glory of God, God's glory does not rest on just man. Bare, if you can use a physical metaphor, the glory can't rest on your physical body. You have to wear a garment. Like when they spoke unto Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses and to tell Aaron concerning his sons, right? In Exodus chapter 28, he said that they should make garments, praise God, for Aaron and for his son. And he said that garment for Aaron is for glory and for beauty. Because when you're coming closer to God, Aaron was designed to come into, let's read that, Exodus chapter 28. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 28. Amen. I'll read from verse 1. It says, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Praise God. He said, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the what? In the priest's office. Praise God. You see that? So this garment is for glory. Say glory.
Glory.
So nobody can come unclothed into glory. they have to clothe you with something. That thing you wear is a garment. It is a garment, when they say, for glory and beauty. It's actually because the presence of God is a place of two things, glory and beauty, are in that dimension. It's not Aaron is not the one who has the beauty in himself. He has to be clothed. Amen. And that garment can become one with the environment of the what? Of the most holy place. Praise God. And it can come. Praise God. You see, let's read on. Verse 4, it says, "And these are the garments which thou shalt make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre and girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen." And he continues to say the things that they need to make for Aaron. Praise God. Amen. So that linen, of course, we know in Revelation chapter 19, it says that linen, when they showed, let's read Revelation 19. Revelation 19, amen. Verse 6, I'll read Revelation 19:6. It says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, is saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the what? Is the righteousness of saints." Praise God. The fine linen is what? Is the righteousness of saints. Now, so this linen is the righteousness that saints need to put on to come into the glory, to carry the glory, or to bear the glory of God. Now, God will only inherit a glorious habitation. Of course, what we are to become for God is a habitation for him. In chapter 21 of Revelation, you now see between 19 and 21, some things happened. Praise God. Towards the end of 19 and chapter 20, and then chapter 21, you see that this same bride who had linen, which was righteousness, that was the clothing. She had linen, which was righteousness. In chapter 21, read verse 9. It says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now, verse 11. So, this is the Lamb's wife now. Having what?
The glory
of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Praise the Lord. So this, between chapter 19 and then at this time, so chapter 21 is showing the end state. Yes. The chapter 19 showed her candidacy. The candidacy of the bride to inherit glory is the she has the linen, praise God, that is what? That linen is the righteousness of saints. Amen. And of course, if you read towards the end of chapter 19, you saw that she had to go into the battle together with the Lamb of God, which is the husband man, amen, who also has his own garment as well. And praise God. And so things happened. There was an overcoming. that had to happen. Amen. Now, when you have righteousness, she had righteousness, but there's still war remaining. Because in righteousness, I think I was saying that righteousness is an instrument for battle. And every righteousness must be proven for complete justification. Righteousness has to be going to battle. Amen. Every righteousness that has not won battle has not been tested. It hasn't been tried. So it can't receive glory until it has gone into battle. Amen. Any righteousness you have, let's say come by revelation first, and then you have it. Every righteousness must be warred against. Amen. All your righteousness will come into contentment. You will war with it. Some people will fall in battle. Amen. But the glory will not rest until a righteousness that has been proven, like the Lamb. The Bible says in that chapter 19 that in righteousness does he what? Does he judge and make war? Amen. Judge. Say judge.
Judge
and make war. In righteousness does he judge and make war. So that's judgment and then making of war. Say judgment. And then making of war. It is judgment for war. That word judgment is application, using of righteousness. And that's what you, it's like wielding of the sword. Amen. The sword you wield against the enemy is not scripture quoting. Amen. Satan is not afraid of scripture quoting. I don't know why people felt that quoting scripture is what it means for spiritual warfare. It's not quoting. You can quote scripture. The only scripture you can quote that works is scripture that is your own. It's your nature. You get what I'm saying? Satan doesn't hear, the word of God said, and then runs. That's what we think when we see Jesus' temptation. Amen. It's not the quoting of scripture that overcame Satan. It's the refusal of the temptation that overcame him. So some people can quote scripture, but they can't resist temptation because the scripture you are quoting is not yet your own. It's not, you've not owned it. Praise God. So where did sometimes those scripture that came? It came out of judgment in righteousness in that temptation. You see what happened? Jesus do this. Took him to the king, to the high pinnacle of the temple, showed him all the kingdoms and all that. Praise God. And the war of the world and their glory. Say, all these things will I give you. And now, if you bow down and worship me, what has to happen? Jesus had to now judge in righteousness. Amen. You can't make war with the enemy if you don't have capacity for righteous judgment. Is the capacity for righteous judgment. That's how you win wars in the spirit. Is that content of righteousness in you, when they are there, trials will come. Those trials are temptation against the path of righteousness, against the way of righteousness. Then judgment has to happen for you to be a warrior. For you to be what? Say judgment.
Judgment.
How does God, what makes God eternal? That he's not afraid of anything. Why he's just constantly alive. It's judgments that are in him. Constantly God is judging in his dwelling. Remember in the Bible it says he that dwells, stands in the congregation. Let's read that in the book of Psalms. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 82. Psalm 82. Thank you, Father. Psalm 82, verse 1. It says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Are you seeing that? And he judges among the gods. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. And he judges among the gods. Now, what is that judgment among the gods? It's talking about his application of righteousness, accuracy of application of righteousness. It's what makes God God. That God can never make mistake in righteousness. Constantly, He's judging. Constantly, He's what? He's judging. He's judging. Because of that, He is eternally above His enemy, or is eternally above sin. He said, God who doesn't tempt anyone, God who is not tempted by evil, neither does He tempt anyone. So God cannot be tempted. Why can't He be tempted? Because of an eternal exercise in judgment. Means He can never do anything wrong. Because constantly He's judging. Amen. He's a man of judgment. Praise God. So you can't make war. Amen. So it says He stands in the congregation of the mighty. That was standard. He actually stands above them. Amen. Among the gods, who is like unto thee? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glorious in holiness. Amen. That was a song in Exodus. Was it Exodus? Praise God. Exodus, yes. Amen. Say, who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee? It's a song that we sing, right? Say, among the gods, who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness. What does it mean to be glorious in holiness? His holiness is become glorious because of victory. But holiness is state of righteousness. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
So my God's might is God is mighty. What makes God mighty is our judgments. Amen. And God, so that mighty talks about exercise of judgment. Then it is might in judgment, amen, that there is might in judgment that leads to might in battle. Without might in judgment, if you're not mighty in judgment, you can't be mighty in battle. So those are criteria, amen, those are the criteria in Psalm 24 when the King of Glory came before the gates. You know, we're speaking about that. When that King of Glory, who is that, amen, he said, lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of Glory shall come in. And the gates replied, okay, who is this King of Glory? Why should I be lifted up? He said, the King of Glory is the Lord first, strong and mighty. That's strength and might. There, that strong and mighty is might in judgment. He's first strong and mighty. Of course, strength is a man of knowledge, increased strength. Amen. What he knows. Amen. So he's strong and mighty. The Lord strong and mighty. Then what? Mighty in battle. He's strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. Praise God. You see those two things. So it says, in righteousness does he judge and then make war. Amen. Does he judge and then what? Make war. So there is an overcoming of righteousness that must happen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If you are, when we're talking about glory, inheriting the glory, I just want us to see this thing so that it can enter our soul. What they are talking about is victory of righteousness. If you are watching, okay, what does this thing mean in my life? What does it mean in my life? When you see Revelation 19, you see the metaphor of the bride being arrayed in fine linen, which is righteousness of saints. Then you go to chapter 21, you see the city, that city having glory. Now, you think, how you interpret that is one of them is ready to war. One has righteousness ready for wars. There are wars that happen at the end of chapter 19, chapter 20, battles that happen to overcome the enemies of God. Then chapter 21, you see glory appear. Are you seeing that? So that righteousness is the of the saint that has the linen in verse 19 is the raw materials for battle. Right? And if you continue down in verse chapter 19, you see that the battle happened. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Any war against the enemy is a war in righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is a war in what?
Righteousness.
Is a war in righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In verse 11, it says, and I saw, Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it, but upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Praise God. Then when you go down to verse, okay, his eyes were as a flame of fire, his head as many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So of course, this fine linen, praise God, this fine linen, white and clean. Of course, though these armies of heaven, I told you before, they are not angels. These are people. Amen. These are the army of the Lord, who are ready to together come and fight a battle together with the Lord. Now, of course, Jesus has already overcome. Amen. He has already what? He has already overcome. Because he's already become mighty in battle. Do you agree with that? These ones, he wants to now train these ones in battle. But he is already mighty in battle. These ones, he said that they were arrayed with fine linen, which is righteousness. But he didn't say that they are judging and making war with righteousness. But when it came to him, they described him. He had his own garment. Of course, his garment is not just white. It's also dipped in blood. Means he has seen battle. Praise God. And so, because he has seen battle, and said, in righteousness does he judge and make war. So he is a man of war. He has claimed all the victory. He has all the stars and all the badges on him. Because he's valiant. Amen. Strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. So that Lord who is mighty in battle, strong and mighty, he is the Lord of hosts. In Psalm chapter 24, you see, the second time the gates ask, who is he? They say, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Say, King of glory.
King of glory.
The King. Say, King of glory.
King.
Thank you, Jesus. The King of glory is the... He has come into all dominion for the glory of God. He is a glorious King. Amen. So, in this place, you see the battle which is won. Sorry, in verse 16 of Revelation 19. Okay, I'll read from verse 14. Amen. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and what? Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. King of Kings, and then what?
Lord.
And then Lord of Lords. Amen. Then let's go to chapter 21. We're almost done. It's not a long message today. I just want us to see, to put all these scriptures together. Praise God. Revelation 21, verse 10. Again, let's read it. Okay, hold on. I'll read from verse 9. It says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. So of course, the holy Jerusalem is descending out of heaven from God, is the heavenly Jerusalem in Hebrews chapter 12. Praise God. That heavenly Jerusalem is the Jerusalem, they call it the church of the firstborn. But that heavenly Jerusalem, at its end, as when it arrives at destiny, it becomes the glorious church. Praise God. Now you read there, verse 11, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Praise God. Thank you, Father. And then verse 12 says, and had a great wall and great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So this city is a church, okay? Now, of course, we've been learning that the Lord wants to inhabit us individually. He wants us to be a house for Him. You know that. He wants you to be a house for Him. But God's eternal dwelling is not just a house, it's a city. Right. Now, what's the difference between a house and a city? A city is many houses. Right? A city is what?
Many houses.
It's many houses. And so this city is many houses that collectively carry glory. Amen? Okay. Now, they further went on to describe it. If you read verse 11, say having the glory of God, right? And her light was like unto a stone most precious, and even like a jasper stone and clear as crystal. So imagine a city that's like a stone, that's like a clear stone. That tells you a few things. That city is made up of course, if the city means it's made up of constituent building, means it has houses in it. But for it to be clear as a stone, it means that everything has come into unison of you know, molecular. They are the same. There is purity of the chemical or properties. Am I correct? If not, it can't be like a stone. Most precious, and even like a jasper, and that is clear. So clear means that there is no difference in the consistency of the nature of the city. Are you seeing that? So that clarity, that state, is what carries the glory of God's eternal habitation. Amen. Praise God. So that's why Jesus Christ has to do his job very, very carefully. He has to do his work. He's very particular about what he says about his ministry upon Mount Zion. Amen. What's the ministry upon Mount Zion for? The higher you go in the spirit, the standard increases. The standard of the specification, because they are now beginning to the work of aligning you to a specification with a particular kind of nature is very, very specific spiritually. It's very specific. The deeper, when you are shallow spiritually, it's like anything goes. You can have different kind of Christians, different kind of things. Amen. And God condones that. But the more higher you go, when you come to Zion, I was saying the other time, in Zion, there's an initial point. Then as you begin to move on, you begin to receive crowning knowledge, which is a knowledge that prepares you for glory. Praise God. At that time, that's where they bring out the standard, which is Christ. Who is Christ that is glorious? Of course, is the Son of God, who is glorious, and then they now begin to work on you. Amen. So the higher you go, when it comes to journey of perfection, they become more specific in your leading, in your life. Walking in the Spirit. As you're walking in the Spirit, you are receiving instructions from the Lord. Praise God. The higher you go in the Spirit, the more particular the instructions. Amen. And then the requirement for judgment increases spiritually. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are we blessed this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So one sign of this church, what they say concerning the church, that the church came out of heaven, from God, out of heaven. So it's heavenly, right? It's a heavenly Jerusalem. It's a heavenly church. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's a heavenly Jerusalem. Is a what?
Heavenly.
Is a heavenly church. And so, but it came out of heaven from God. What does that mean? Came out from heaven. Out of heaven from God. Means it was hidden in heaven in God. It was hidden in heaven. And then after the point, it came out. It, praise God. So, it seemed like this thing is something that will happen later. But no, this church is being prepared now. Amen. It's being prepared what?
Now.
And in the present, people can take their place in this church. Amen. Jesus took his place when he was on the earth. When, remember in John chapter 3, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, after he spoke to him, then he said, look, oh, you teacher of Israel, if I've told you earthly things and you don't understand, how will you understand if I tell you heavenly things? And he went on and he said something profound. He said, no man has what? Seen God. Praise God. Or he said, sorry, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man. Right, who came. Let's read that, please. Amen. So, at that time when Jesus was speaking with, we're about to finish right now. We're finishing early today. Praise God. At that time when Jesus was speaking, Jesus had already ascended in his soul. How many of you believe that he has entered heaven? Just entered heaven. He was for a while, he was on the earth. He has already entered. He has taken a place. And then he was speaking. So in John chapter 3, he said, I'll read from verse. Okay, let's see. Windblowers. And, okay, let's read from verse 10. And Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Said, and if I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man had ascended up to heaven but the Son that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is, not which is going to tomorrow, but which is in heaven. So, right now, as he was talking to him, say, right now, I'm in heaven. Because I'm in heaven, I can talk, if I wanted to, I could talk to you about heavenly things. Because heaven is my world. Heaven is my realm. Heaven is my place. Praise God. That same way, God wants to move people into heaven. As you're on the earth, you begin to access heavenly things. Praise God. As you are accessing heavenly things, you are taking your place. Amen.
Amen.
In this church. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just something simple. I just want to just draw a line with those scriptures. That's what I felt in my heart this morning. Are we blessed?
Yes,
praise the Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's begin to thank God. Let's bless his name. Paren estifeta ondra tushtefiel. Samadalika le fetre padona. Kalama angelo tana. Asata epora profeta proveta bafte profia amason kote kentakula kai alakol kol ka el kal 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 el kel sol sol prashtina. Thank you, Father. Kele da baste pronde, me creste por ives e prodies, samana kare na te prendo, karama ta paure me ta kaza, sone kere na te, samprati se futen fetan fetan felen ban, olase onese onesto onsa ansan tuskia, Parana, per enda, pasha taya. Thank you, Father. We worship your holy name. Thank you. 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 Let's pray for more establishment in righteousness. Judgment in righteousness needs to increase. As they are weaving our garment in the spirit, let's pray for more grace to cooperate with heaven. Thank you. Mara sai el sar de libran tu vashayana. Sanda le prandi haviran te tuskin. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. We bless your name for your word. We worship you.
Thank you, Father.
Our Lord, we thank you for your hope and your thoughts towards us. Thank you for this glorious destiny to be part of your glorious church, your eternal habitation. Lord, I pray that you will begin to help us in the journey of righteousness. I ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us to come fully into all that you have prepared in terms of inheriting righteousness, putting on our garment, and all the battles we need to fight in order to be, to reach full sanctification and being justified before you. I pray you will help us. Thank you. I ask for release of grace and strength to every one of us. Lord, I pray you make us more skillful in righteousness. Just impart more skill to us. Help us to be wiser as we apply judgment even in life. And in things, I pray for more doors that will be open to us. And I pray, bring these things home, make them clearer. Help our soul to press into them. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.